Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. If you're stressed, if you're pressured, if you're hearing an echo, we'll end that immediately. But listen, we're so glad you're here, and end of the week here on Friday. But this is a great place to just kick back and listen to how difficult life is for other people, and maybe that will make yours sound easier or something like that. This is a political-free zone. That's kind of right there, a relief. And joining me today, two of my favorite people. They went to school for a long time, PhDs, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve. Good to be with you.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Dave.
Good to be.
Hi, Jill.
Yeah, good to be with you. I was with Jill yesterday, but Dave, you and I, we were in Nashville at the AACC.
How fun, you guys.
Yeah, All Right, Christian Counseling Association, and I left before Mike Pompeo showed up, but he's quite a Christian guy.
He's very devout, very overt about it. He wanted to come early to enjoy the worship, because he doesn't get to enjoy that very often.
That is really neat.
That is
he was outstanding. Non-political Christian message that was right on target.
Mm. I love that. Mm-hmm. We did a couple of workshops, and it's very exciting that people are doing groups. They are really looking forward to, in February, our workbooks come out, January and February, where you take the Life Recovery Bible, and it's a specially designed workbook to do grief work with, one of them.
Yeah,
another one is for sexual integrity, eating disorders,
and divorce.
Those come out in January, and then the guy that did the one on divorce was a little late, so it doesn't come out till February.
But it's good.
Divorce does kind of slow you down.
But it's good.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, we're excited about that, and if you've never looked at a Life Recovery Bible, you can call us. You know, they're not very expensive, and boy, they are just helping people all over the world. Very exciting about that. And Reba is right there ready to help you start a group. It only takes two people, you know, to start a group, you and somebody else, and she can tell you how to do that when you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I want to mention one other thing before we go to a break. Our Restore workshop is so powerful in helping women who've been hurt by a man who has a problem with sexual integrity, and we have an early bird rate that ends on November the 2nd, but that's going to be November the 15th in Washington, D.C., and so many women don't want to go to church and talk about the fact my husband is using pornography, and there's so much confusion about it. You know, yesterday we talked with someone who, it was a therapist. She didn't know whether or not to tell this person to postpone the wedding. And the groom-to-be had been using hardcore pornography. Well, in our world, it would just be obvious that you would say, you shouldn't just postpone.
Yeah, she was wanting confirmation.
Yeah, shouldn't be engaged to somebody like that. You should say, look, we're starting over. I don't know what people think of when they think of hardcore pornography, but it is nothing but degrading to women. It's horrible. And to put that in your mind is you're not going to treat women well. So anytime somebody's involved with that, all bets are off, or however you would say. All right, well, we're glad you're with us. 1-800-229-3000 is our phone number, and we would love to talk with you. If you need some help, it's 1-800-229-3000. New Life. We're going to take a break. We'll go right to the phones, and got them already coming in here, so I'm excited about that. Dr. Jill Hubbard wrote, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Dave has written a lot of books with me, Take Your Life Back, but a great one, Smart Love. If you've never read that, that's a good one.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop. Really glad you're with us here today. And as I said, if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To join radio, 1-800-229-3000. How about we talk with Amy, Colorado Springs. She listens on to the great station, KGFT. Amy, how are you today?
I am very good. Thank you.
Good.
Well, great. We're glad you're with us. And how can we help?
I'm actually full of anxiety.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry.
What's going on?
Okay. It's about my, I have five children. My 24-year-old is the youngest, and we adopted her at birth.
Okay.
She's always been trouble.
She's always been trouble?
Yep.
Is that what you said? Well, tell us about that.
Yeah. Okay, it was an open adoption, so she's always known her birth family, all of them. And they've just intruded so much. It's through the years made her madder and madder. And my ex-husband, he left us, me with the five kids, when she was only 5 years old. She's the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
She never really knew him because he was always traveling. So here she's been adopted and doesn't have a good birth family that, you know, really is there for her. Then her adoptive dad leaves, and then I had to go and work because he left, so I had to go out and work, and she was mad about that. She's always been verbally abused by men, her brother-in-law, cousins, kids at school, her own brother, her adoptive dad, her birth dad, nephews, boyfriends.
Okay. We get it.
Now she has no friends. Since she's been graduated from high school, I've had to kick her out a few times because of her lying, stealing, manipulative personality.
Okay.
She's just lived in different homes, calling up random people on Facebook or some wherever, and she'll only last for about 2 months, and they kick her out because of her personality. For 1 year now, she's lived with an older lady at our church. By her gracefulness, she's let her stay there. But now she's like, I think I'm going to have to let her go. She doesn't help. She doesn't tell the truth. I don't know what to do. And I here I am almost 60, and I'm giving her so much money because she won't get a job. And I'm thinking, what is going to happen to her when she gets kicked out?
So is it a general question, or is it specifically, what do you do when you have a 24-year-old daughter who is not able to establish independence for herself? Is that the question?
Right. Yeah, like, I've helped her too much. I've enabled
her too
much.
Yeah, you've done a lot.
And I don't know.
Okay, so Let's retitle that. We want to help you with this. What you've done is you've given her money, but that hasn't helped her. Right?
Right.
And if she knows that rather than die or starve or be on the street, you're always going to give her money, then it lowers a bit of that motivation to go to work down there at wherever you could get a job. You know, so part of her getting help is going to be you not assisting her with the, you know, anything that you've been doing, because nothing you've done has helped her. Jill, your thoughts.
Can I reframe this a bit? Amy, you've done everything you can to prop her up for success. And at any point, had she taken hold of that and used it for good to help herself, then that would have been a wonderful thing. But at a certain point, you start to realize that no matter how much you give in all areas, like Steve is saying, it's just a bottomless pit, and she doesn't make good use of it. Right? She's not making good use of the money. She's not using it to better herself. So that's when you say, oh, I need to stop doing that because it's not making a difference. It's not helping her. So there's something else that she has to hit up against in order to kick into her own initiative to help herself.
She's always been rescued, it seems, by you.
I mean, that's a good word versus helping her. I've rescued her, but in rescuing her, she hasn't developed any life skills.
You know, some of that can be from the adopted family. Some of that can be
hereditary.
I worked with a family that adopted two children. One became a Christian leader, the other became a Satan worshiper and ended up in prison. And they raised them the same. Right. And there was something inside them in terms of the adoption, in terms of the genetics that you just can't get beyond. And that doesn't mean it's hopeless. That means that you've got to be really strong in order to not be the rescuer in terms of when she fails.
And she is a lot like her birth mom in many ways.
Yeah.
But I would also make the case that a lot of times when a child is adopted, then because they're adopted, we kind of let them off the hook a little bit early on, and we're easier on them or something like that. Oh, well, you know, she's adopted.
Well, and all the other things that have gone on, right? She's the youngest with the divorce, all these things. So there's perhaps some guilt, Amy, on your part, and compensation.
So we have to have a plan. We have to have a plan that will work for you and work for her. Because giving her money has worked for you, but it hasn't worked for her. She's no better off.
And can I say, through all this mess, she's had like 40 guys in her life. It's so insane.
Okay.
She just gives her body away. It's so insane. Yeah. And through all that mess, she's had one baby now. And I've really bonded with them.
Okay.
So that's how she manipulates me into giving her money. Is she'll call and say, oh, he really wants to see you now. Oh, he's talking your name. Mm-hmm. You know, she knows that pulls at my heart. And so, you know, I feel like, if I don't give her money to go see him, because she's lost all her time with him except every other weekend, if I don't give her money to go see him, he's not going to know his mommy. And it just kills me inside.
Okay, we have to have a plan for Amy. We have to have a plan for Amy to start to make money, right?
No, for Amy's daughter.
I mean, for Amy's daughter. For your daughter to make money. So, Amy, you have to have a plan for her to grow in character as well as make money. Right?
Right.
She's got to be independent. So if you don't help her with character, and so I think that you might want to have a plan to continue to support her financially with the amount diminishing, but it's dependent on her doing some things that could help her life. Right? Wouldn't that make sense?
Okay.
If you want my support, Okay, so now you have to do it, and you don't ever want to tell her to do something that you don't follow through. So you have to tell her, here's what I'm going to do for you, but you have to prove to me, just like I was your probation officer, that you're going to either it's a women's Bible study, or it's a codependency group, it's a female sex addicts anonymous group. Something has to, or it's going to see a Christian counselor. We can help you find that. But if you give her money and she's continuing to sleep with all these guys and not work, then you'd have to say you're enabling evil in her life. And God is not good with that either, right?
Right.
Okay. The right thing is to have some criteria for the support, and you're going to have to be willing for her not to go see her baby a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
See, because... Mm-hmm. That's what you said. No, I can't. You didn't.
That's
go
where
to those
she's
meetings.
Holding you hostage.
Yeah. So
you
have
hold
to
her
say,
hostage.
What good is it going to be if her mother's dead at age 30 or in prison or something,
or is just a liar?
Yeah, and so maybe it'd be better if she didn't go see her a few times, because I'm holding the ground that if you don't do these character building things, I am not going to help you.
And to do that,
Amy,
I add to what Steve is saying and Jill is saying, is that you add going to a parents Al-Anon group.
Yeah.
To where you understand how to do what we're suggesting and how to have support for that kind of suggestion.
So you're saying to her, everything's going to be different. I, Amy, am going to start going to a codependency group for parents. You're going to start going to some groups if you want any support from me. You don't want my support? Don't go to the groups. That's how things start to change. And Amy, here, we're going to do our part with you. Our next Finding Freedom workshop will help her go to that, and it will help you help her, okay?
Okay.
But she's got to be doing meetings between now and Finding Freedom. She's got to be working some kind of program. Got it? Now, what is what?
What is the Finding Freedom Workshop?
Well, that's where we do an intensive, and we bring in Christian counselors from all over the country. And I speak, and then she goes into a group with other people who are really struggling to get their act together in one way or another. And so it'll be a great experience for her. But we got to work with you. You've got to work, and she's got to work with you to turn this around. And it really could be the beginning of a whole new way of life for her. Jill, you have a final thought for Amy.
I'm just thinking of, you know, getting her to do this. I like the idea of you, Ty, giving her money to these mm-hmm. things. Sometimes that's hard to, you know, follow up on, but being creative and thinking of a way that you can monitor that, and certainly getting her to go to the weekend, and then you'll give her money for going to the, it's like paying her to go to the weekend, right?
Yeah.
But it'll make such a huge difference that that's using your money for good. And I would suggest you don't give her money as often as you can, not directly, but to whatever it is the need is.
Yeah,
pay directly instead of handing her cash.
See, I think a lot of people would say, oh, just don't ever give her any more money. But I don't think that is
helpful. Well, I think
helpful.
You can use it because she needs money. Yeah. So it's leverage.
Mm-hmm. Because we want to get her in front of some people that she's not in front of. And there's your motivation. All right. Really glad that you called. Now, I'm going to send you two copies of Take Your Life Back. I think part of the financial support ought to be that she's going to read that, and you're going to read it, and you guys are going to discuss it together, and you're going to develop an adult relationship. That's, you know, that's kind of another little bottom line thing, is she needs to have a relationship with you, not just call you when she is desperate and just using you and abusing you as a very caring and loving mother. So I'll get those to you. And I always wonder in situations like this, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that she would be free of alcohol or drugs.
And so there's probably
some addiction recovery that needs to go along with that, too. Really glad that you called. Let's go to, Lauren, Shreveport, Louisiana, and she listens to the podcast. Hi, Lauren. How are you today? What's going on?
Oh, I could be better. My big question is about reconciliation. I'm a new listener, and I've listened to women call about their husbands being addicted to pornography and how they made the relationship ended up being better, and they reconciled, and, you know, they overcame it. But I was wondering, are there biblical reasons for reconciliation? Like, what would they be? I'm also in a divorce care class. My divorce is final August 2nd. And they tell you about the biblical reasons for divorce, but they didn't really talk much about why reconcile or what should happen to before or during reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, before reconciliation, that's where you see if there's any hope in reconciling, or you're just going to repeat another horrible, painful disaster. So when we come back, we're going to talk to you about what's the willingness on both parties' part to do anything different that could be redemptive. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We really love you. I mean, really, we care about you. We rejoice when people are struggling and they make a bold move and they get better.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop, and we're really glad you're with us here today. Hope something that we're saying to other folks might help you. Right now, we're talking with Lauren. Now, she's divorced, but she's talking about reconciliation. So
yeah, and Lauren, I was wondering kind of what you're thinking of in terms of reconciliation when you are divorced. Like, are you thinking that there's hope to remarry, or what exactly are you looking for?
Hope to remarry. We have a 2-year-old son, and all this started February 19th when my former spouse went to prison, well, jail, and then now he's in prison. And that's my life changed overnight. I didn't know some things, and it came out, and my dreams were crushed just like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So how did he go? What did he do? What did he do to go to prison?
Pornography addiction got so bad that he escalated it to child pornography, and they convicted him of 3 counts. And
when does he get out? When does he get out?
According to the internet, 2021.
Okay.
Not really the internet, but you know what I mean? The database, like where he's at. Yeah.
Okay. And when it comes to help that he's getting in prison, is he getting any help in prison?
Well, he's only been there for about 2 months. There's like no help in county jail. But now that he's in prison, he sees a therapist or counselor once a month. And so far he says that she's very short and curt. And he also can go to chapel on Sundays. And
does he?
Yes, he does. And he was a new Christian. Like when we met is when he came to know God. And so he's struggling. We were 25 when we met, and
So
okay,
and you guys got divorced because of where he's at.
I felt I had a cause for divorce. He also cheated with three other women while we were married. He was pretty much not faithful our whole marriage. He always had something online that he was doing with somebody else. And then finally, the night before the police picked him up, he confessed that he slept with three other women throughout our marriage. The last time was in January, and he brought her to our house while I was at a funeral in Iowa with our son.
Okay, so are you saying that you want to reconcile, or is someone telling you it's God's will for you to reconcile with him?
No, nobody wants me to be with him. Everyone's mad or upset when I talk about the fact that I still love him. I didn't do anything to deserve this or anything remotely at all. And I miss my life, and I miss my husband that I had. And besides his addiction and infidelity, we had, I thought, a pretty great marriage. There's nothing else I can complain about.
Well, that's a pretty big thing to complain about, though, what went on.
But I get what you're saying. You know, you can have an awful marriage and still have a pretty good life. And that's what a lot of women struggle giving up, is the life and the position of being married and all that goes with that.
Well,
my secondary question was how to be okay and content being single, because I'm not, but I don't know if we have time to get to that.
Oh, yeah. But
well, I think that...
That's a good question.
I think it's really important that you stop and look at your life right now, and whatever pain, agony, or struggle that you're in, that this, you want this to be the most painful time. Right?
Not later.
You don't want
more pain,
escalating pain. You don't want it to be worse, right?
Yes.
Okay. So somehow you've landed on that when he gets out of prison, if you two get back together, it's going to be good.
It's going to be better. Yeah.
Different.
It's what you're imagining.
But you don't have any evidence of that yet. Now, let me tell you a real concern of mine. If you're in prison, you have a lot of time on your hands. And to say that the only help that's available is seeing a counselor once a month, going to chapel once a week, that's an indication that he has not had enough pain to cause him to want to do anything and everything to change his life. You know, I've told the story of a young man that was having sex with a 12-year-old. And he, in prison, translated Every Man's Battle into Braille. He became so familiar with the material, he could do that. Your ex, if he wants to reconcile with you, does he want to reconcile with you?
That's a big question.
Yes. I feel like some of my problems would go away if he didn't want to, and he wanted one of those other women, but unfortunately, he's always wanted to reconcile.
Yeah, but,
well, then, but he needs more than words.
He's not doing anything to indicate he wants to reconcile.
Well, he needs to do more. He needs to do more. He needs to take some action steps and not just have words. It can't be all on you, Lauren.
Right. See,
he's asking a lot of you.
He's got to be changed. He's got to be different.
I don't know.
He's obviously
in prison of things to do.
Well, there's 12 step groups.
Well, there's all kinds of groups. There are things available to him if he avails himself.
He can read books. Don't know about what they have available online. He can be in sometimes they allow you to be on a phone recovery group. We'll talk more after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My wife had found me out and came home one weekend. She had revealed my secret. The only reason I was sorry at that time is because I had been caught. I had had the Every Man's Battle book for years and pulled that book out that weekend and found the phone number on the back and called it. And then a week later, I was at Every Man's Battle. It really gave me the start I needed for my recovery. I never had had that opportunity to sit down with guys I didn't even know and totally open up. The good thing was I was opening up to guys I didn't even know. So why did I care? Just lay it all out on the table. I have nothing to lose. You need to check it out. At least go online, check out what it's about, and take the chance and go do it.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to go on struggling. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here talking with Lauren. Husband's in jail. Child pornography. She wants to reconcile. Jill had some words here, and then I've got a couple of things.
Okay. So, Lauren, when you were talking about how do you adjust to becoming single, you know, when you go through all this, this is devastating, right? And you're right. You didn't do any of this. This is happening. This is him, and what he's done is brought this sin into your family, right? And so it's very unjust. Right? It's not fair to you at all. But there's lots of times in life where we suffer the consequences as a result of someone else's sin, and we still have to deal with it and move through it. And so in the beginning, there's that desperate feeling of just clinging to what you had and seeing it slip through your fingers, right? And it's like, how do I retain the good that I had in my life? And then to imagine no longer being married, no longer being a wife, no longer having that life, and moving forward, it's really, really scary to do that. And so that's where I think if he's wanting to reconcile, it's like easy to kind of have maybe even some false hope and not see that he needs to do more, that it can't be you. Because I have a feeling you've been someone that's probably over-functioned for his under-functioning. And so you have to create, you have to start adding people to your life that can support you and walk alongside you, like the divorce care is good, and filling your life up with other things, even though that might not have been your first choice.
Well, and one of the things that I liked hearing was that you do have people telling you not to go back to him, which means you have people in your life.
Right.
And I would just encourage you to listen to them. There is nothing in me that wants you to reconcile, and there's everything in me that wants couples to reconcile when you have two people who can make a great life for each other. To bring a child pornographer into a back into the home
with
when
a child.
Your child's going to be about 5 years old or 4 years old or so. I just can't imagine that you haven't thought about what that might create for your child. And right now, your child must be your priority, not a guy that's in prison that lied to you, cheated on you, and you know, the child pornography is something, but he was also involved in affairs.
Yeah.
And now he's not even reading stuff and tell you, well, I read this new thing, or studying, forming a group on his own.
I've sent
so
him
I
books,
really...
and he has read them.
Okay, good.
And he does read his Bible every day.
Okay,
that's good. Well, you encourage him to continue to do that, but why don't you encourage him to start a group there that would help.
Or to attend everything
himself.
He can that they offer at the prison.
He says that...
I'm sorry, what was he
enough.
Says what?
It's
he says what?
He says since he hasn't been there long enough, he has to wait to get into classes and stuff.
Okay.
It's not immediate.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Also for yourself, Lauren, I think you need to be going to some codependent of sex addicts groups so that you can have those types of women around you too who have walked through this already. So you need to be getting help for you as you grieve this, and it's going to take some time with doing the work.
And one thing you've got to keep in mind, Lauren, is that reconciliation requires the offending person to make a big enough effort that's bigger than the effort the forgiving person is doing. And unless both people are involved in the healing process equally, nothing changes. It'll slide right back to the other, and that's what your friends are worried about.
Yeah. And so I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. It's got 10 choices, and one of those choices is grieving. And, boy, that could really, really help you there. And so that's going to come your way. I just hope and pray that you'll get involved with your own recovery, because sometimes when we have hope, it's false hope. And what it really is, it becomes not hope, but it becomes wishing. There's no foundation for hope there. There's no evidence for us to be hopeful about anything. And so I'm wanting to see you have a transformation and then him see, boy, I've really got to up whatever I'm doing if I'm going to win the heart of this woman. We believe in transformation, but there has to be evidence of a real desire for things to be different.
And the big task for Lauren is learning to trust, because how can she trust a guy that's done what he's done, gone to prison for it, and he's sorry about it, but what's changed really inside?
Yeah, and to bring that back into the home is really rough. Well, I want you to help us if you can. Jill, you have a letter from Virginia. Can you read that letter from Virginia?
Yes, I do. So Virginia's a listener. She said, I just wanted to write a quick note to let you know how much your ministry has helped me. A few months ago, I was struggling in an abusive marriage. I was going through the worst depression of my life, feeling like I had nowhere to turn. I always listened to your program on my lunch hour while sitting in my car. I heard you say that if you need a Christian counselor in your area, contact you. I did, and found an excellent Christian counselor in my area who has helped me and my two daughters through the two most devastating events of my life. My marriage of 19 years finally ending, and the very painful and tragic loss of my father in a car accident. I never give to big ministries, but your ministry has helped my life and the lives of my children so directly that I am happy to give to your ministry so that you can be around to help others like me. I wish it could be more. Thank you for your help, and please pray for us.
Thank you, Virginia.
Thanks, Virginia.
That's great.
And I'm going to ask some of you folks to come alongside Virginia and help us. It really could help other folks just like her. The number's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. A gift of any amount, and I'll send you the brand new book, 100 Days of Healing. It's our daily devotional. And then, I mean, people love the 100 Days of Peace, 100 Days of Character, and 100 Days of Prayer. I think this one is the best one. I think you'll love it. If you join Club New Life, I'll send you all four as our way of saying thank you. And then a gift of $20 or more, I will autograph to the child of your choice, Kirby McCook, and the Jesus Chronicles. All of this is just our way of saying thank you for coming alongside us and helping us to reach others. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now let's go to Candace and see how she's doing in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi there, how are you?
Hi, Steve and Joel and Larry. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Or Dave.
Dave's here. Larry's out today, but he'll be back. Yeah.
Oh, I thought I heard his voice earlier. So I read Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love, and when I got to the vacillator chapter, I was so heartbroken to know that that was me.
Okay. All right. What was so tough about that, to know that you're a vacillator? Why was that so hard for you?
To know that I've been knowing for years that that is how I act or how I react to situations in my marriage, but the hard part is changing it.
Yeah.
And not knowing how to.
Can you tell us specifically something that you do that you say that this is what vacillators do and this is what I've done that hasn't been helpful in the marriage?
I am the typical vacillator. Every word that you read in that chapter describes me. If there's an incident that I get upset, where my husband is an avoider, how surprising, right? And so when he moves away or when he's quiet or, if there's a situation that I'm upset about and he keeps moving away, I just get angry. And the only way that that anger gets resolved is through, letting that out is through an outburst, which I hate, but I don't know how to change it. And I have read everything I could possibly read or get my hands on. I've even signed us up for the workshop in D.C., which we've then had to cancel because we had something come up on that Sunday. And you don't have anything closer to Philadelphia in the next few months. But
Candace,
it would be worth the airfare to go farther and then experience this together, because it really does change, especially if you're a vacillator and you see it and you're distressed over it, but you want to change it. That's really kind of the prime time to go.
So, Candace, what do you think is under your anger when he's pulling away?
I feel abandoned.
Yeah. It's that fear of abandonment and almost panic, right? So it comes out in anger and lashing out at him.
Yeah.
Trying to desperately get him to move towards you. And for an avoider, wow, that's lethal.
So why do you think leaving and being abandoned is especially painful for you? Can you think back into your childhood of where that might have started?
Many instances.
Okay, think about that. We want to hear about that when we come back. Hold on. When we come back, we'll hear about it. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Candace, and she recognizes that she is a vacillator, and when the husband moves away, it really is a, you know, emotionally, it feels like, you know, he may abandon me or it's painful. I ask her to think about, well, where do you think that came from? Why would that be so painful to you more so than others? And so what do you come up with, Candace? Where did this become such a painful experience for you first?
I don't know. I think, you know, the show is not long enough for all of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you think of one big one?
Like,
yeah,
just an example.
When I was 16, my parents moved out of the house and left me behind to move to another.
What?
What you would consider a state, and I was left to finish off high school by myself.
Oh my goodness.
At the time, I don't know, I feel like at the time maybe I didn't realize how...
You buried the pain.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, even if you understood their reasoning, it's still, to be left is painful.
Yeah, and then when I left to come to America years ago, you know, I've always been without family, so I'm here by myself, which, you know, I almost resent my in-laws for that because they're very cold and I feel abandoned by them.
Okay.
And
well,
so,
you know, I want to tell you something. Not everybody literally could survive that kind of abandonment. Instantly, they're addicted to drugs, sex, whatever, and they die. They kill themselves or some overdose. Your vacillating is a coping skill that helped you survive. Just like when, you know, if you're in a car accident, you go into shock and your blood flow lessens. Well, vacillation is kind of like that. Okay, so now that you're an adult, you have to undo the pattern of coping with the crisis or the catastrophe or the trauma, and now you move into another level. It's totally possible, especially with the insight that this is who I am. A lot of vacillators spend years denying that that's really who they are.
Right.
Okay. So I think there's great hope for you.
Has your husband read the book?
I sent him some of the information, and he agrees that that's us. I think.
Okay, good.
And, you know,
okay,
I feel then, so sorry for him. Yeah.
Then what I would suggest
even
is
an avoider.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I would suggest is the next time before you get angry, you share with him what that feels like when he clams up, and how you experience it, and just describe it, and see if you can empathize with it, because somehow you got to change the transaction between you and your husband.
Because when we're in a marriage, a guy like him has to accept, I'm married to a vacillator.
Right.
I am an avoider. I have to adapt some things that I do. I have to accommodate some things that you do. And then you begin to work out of the coping pattern or mechanism into an authentic, healthy relationship. Both people have to do it.
Right.
Now, we're going to do the marriage and intimacy in marriage again February 14th. And if there was any way you guys could get there by train, boat, hitchhike, I mean, it really would help you so, so much. But if you've never thought about going, I'm telling you, you leave with a different perspective on life and hope where maybe you didn't even think hope could ever exist. Every Man's Battle is on November 1st. That's in Orange County. as well as Intimacy in Marriage on February the 14th. But I hope and pray that you'd just come. If you're a guy and you're struggling with sexual integrity, why not deal with it while it's manageable, it's easier to recover from, versus you're in prison because you went from pornography to child pornography, mm-hmm. as we heard about here. I hope and pray you would just call us and ask about it. We don't ever want money to stand in the way of you and getting help. So there's scholarship money available. Ask about that. Restore is November the 15th, Washington, D.C., and many women will go there feeling bitter, angry, hopeless, helpless, and they'll leave with a totally different perspective. On the 24th of July, we're going to do Finding Freedom in D.C. Then also, you know, for you that love traveling with us in 2020, we're going to do the Rhine River Cruise. I've wanted us to do this for quite some time. We finally found a way to do it. And you have to sign up now. It's September 28th in 2020, but the cabins are pretty rare, and we'd love to have you come. We do a lot of teaching. Many people say, yeah, we loved seeing wherever we went, but we love the teaching. It's going to be a very, very special time. You can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or by going to newlife.com either way. I want to mention also what we will do if you support us. A gift of any amount I send you, it's kind of a leathery feel, really a beautiful 100 Days of Healing. It's a great gift. A daily devotional has great quotes from people, great content, scripture, and a prayer, and other verses for reflection. Really think you'd love this for yourself, but a great gift for someone else. Also, for $20, if you want the gift that solves everything, if you're a grandparent, parent, aunt, uncle, if you want your kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews to think you're cool while at the same time learning about God, Jesus, and all of creation, it's Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles, stories that come alive because they're told in the voice of a 12-year-old, and he's very funny.
Well, he's kind of behind you, looking over your shoulder there.
Yes, he is, right here in the studio.
See?
But so of course, that's $20. I'll sign it to the child you want to have it. I just signed 20 of them yesterday. And so let us know, and we'll get those out. We'll mail it to whoever you want to have. That's $20. And then all four devotionals, 100 Days of Prayer, 100 Days of Peace, 100 Days of Healing, and 100 Days of Character. That's our way of saying thanks for joining Club New Life. $30 a month, but the big reward, you become a part of our giving family, and every person you hear who goes through some kind of great transformative experience, you're part of that. I want to invite you to join us on Monday. Ken Harrison, he is head of Promise Keepers, the new Promise Keepers, and if you're struggling with being the man you think God wants you to be, or you haven't kept those promises, you know, this is a great, great, and wonderful program for you. We love having Ken on. It's a perfect day. That's on Monday. Also, let me just say this. You might not need a workshop. You might not need an intensive. Maybe there's a therapist who's committed their whole life to helping folks, a Christian counselor in your area. We could connect you with that person. There may be a book, a resource. Maybe there's a video or a series that we could send to you that could help you with whatever you're dealing with. You know, we're kind of the ministry that nobody wants to need, but when you need us, we're here. And we've got so much wisdom that's all on video, audio, and we love sharing it with you. And we love hearing these stories of people whose life has been changed. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Maybe we have something that could benefit you or someone you love at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And it really, some of the people that support us the most, all we did was refer them to a counselor right in their area that they didn't know was there. But you'll never know what we have to offer if you don't call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. As I mentioned earlier, Smart Love, he and Jan wrote that wonderful book. Dr. Jill Hubbard, many books, but I love Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. All of us need to do that in some way. Now, If you want to join us on another program, 1-800-229-3000. If you're on the line, hold on.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.